Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide. From a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. My mouth's waking up. All right, on the other ends of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, also known as the Perky Possum. Is that it?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay. And Mr. Chandler St. Pierre, the jabbering Maine Coon cat. Hello, Chandler. Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I have not been contacted by the government.
Worms.
Or as my picture says on Facebook, no, government no here.
So, yeah, you know, there's so much tyranny I can't even keep up. And we want to get it out of the way so we can get to fun stuff. You know, I was actually chatting with someone today about the good old days when everyone we knew were anarchists, which back then meant leftists. And now it largely means anarcho-capitalists, which are the good guys like us. It's people who believe in small government, limited government, to the point where it drowns itself in the bathtub because no one loves it, but we still want to engage in the free market. Doesn't that sound good, listeners out there on the radio? You know, put aside your preconceptions of, without government, there'd be blood in the streets. Because you know what? Anytime you go to a family picnic, anytime you go to the farmer's market, anytime you do most anything, there's no government. And these days, more and more, when the government shows up, it's to shoot you or shoot your dog or rob you like a highwayman for not wearing your seatbelt or any number of other things. Or it turns out spying on your cell phones and listening to your sexy love talk with your wife. That ain't cool, man. Here's the thing. When I was a kid, Richard Nixon was kicked out of office, rightfully so, for, you know, spying on a couple people. And now it's like every government agent, every police officer, all the three-letter agencies I can't even name because some of them are secret, they would be like ought if they wrote them out. All those people are spying on everyone all the time. They admit that it's probably a violation of your constitutional rights, but they do it anyway. And it's like, it's not even a secret. I mean, when the Nixon thing broke, it was major news, and the guys probably won Pulitzers and Nobel Prizes for exposing it. And these days, it's like, everyone's doing it all the time, and they say it on their website. It's the stuff that governments admit now. The three people on this show today, like 8 years ago, were yelling in the streets, the government's spying on you all the time. The government wants to do the blah, blah, blah. And you all thought we were crazy, man. Back then, you were just, I vote Republican. I'll make everything good. And you didn't have the awareness of like, well, I still vote because we got to restore the Republic and get the right men in there to fix things. But government's horrible and government should only do really important things because government's really bad at doing things. That's what y'all were saying back then. And you might still be saying it now. But we're not thinking we're smarter than you. We're just giving you tough love, man, and saying, look, we knew this back then and people said we were crazy. And now we're saying it, and you're like, I agree. We need to call back the president and charge him with treason. No, because whoever you're going to replace him with is going to do the same thing, except the guy you replace him with, the Republican you replace him with, will probably like own the contracts of the company that's putting, you know, the backdoor chip in every cell phone. But there is a solution, or at least a temporary solution, or some good news, shall we say, from a surprising quarter of the world. Google and Apple. Google and Apple are at least making a public case of being good guys. Now, in the recent past, these two companies have played ball,
kill switches
with government in things. So I don't know that this isn't a run around. We're going to have the government yell at us, but it's a big game because we're really just trying to figure out how to tap. Yeah, I don't know.
It could be one of two things, I think. Yeah? It could be just what you said, or it could be kind of a backlash because both Google and Apple have, like you said, played ball with the government. And there's more and more of a market demand for encryption and privacy. And I think they could realize that they need to start meeting that demand or somebody else is going to come in and take that market from them.
Good points, but I am burying the lead, and I'm leading you to bury the lead. So why don't you read a little bit of this article so the people in the cheap seats will know what we're talking about.
All right, so from GOPUSA.com, we have an article called FBI Criticizes New Cell Phones with Data Privacy.
Yeah.
And it says the FBI director on Thursday criticized the decision by Apple and Google to encrypt smartphone data so it can be inaccessible to law enforcement, even with a court order.
Yeah, go on. I mean, that's good, but go on.
So James Comey told reporters at FBI headquarters that the U.S. officials are in talks with the two companies, which he accused of marketing products that would let people put themselves beyond the law's reach.
Beyond the law? Oh, no.
Well, Comey, you know, cited,
as the law gets more and more illegal, who wouldn't want to put themselves behind but beyond the law a bit?
Yeah, the reach just keeps growing and growing.
I mean, to where they can pull you over, not even for speeding, as they do often in New Mexico, which is the U.S. of A. They've been doing this a lot. They've been doing it everywhere, but in New Mexico, it's pretty common now to get pulled over. And if they don't like something about you, they take you to a hospital and have your internal backside searched by a doctor, which is also a violation of the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm. But, you know, painfully and embarrassedly, and then send you the bill for it. That's the law now. So who wouldn't want to be a little bit behind beyond the law, I say? Go on.
I agree. Comey cited child kidnapping and terrorism cases as two examples.
For the children! For the children!
That's always, it's either, you know, child pornography, child kidnapping, or terrorism. That's always what they trot out for this stuff. The case is getting tired to me. So, yeah. As two examples of situations where quick access by authorities to information on cell phones can save lives, Comey did not cite specific past
save
cases.
Lives. Think about how many, like, every day we're reading a new story of, like, cop shoots unarmed jaywalker kind of stuff, or shoots dog. I mean, the U.S. government ends lives all the time. They, you know, may occasionally save a life to try to make a point of we're indispensable. A lot of times the lives they save would probably be saved a lot quicker in the private sector if they got out of the way. But, you know, these days, I mean, we had a news item yesterday of like someone who was arrested for jumping into a river to save someone who was drowning in a frozen river. And the police stopped them, arrested them for jumping in the river, and the person died who they were trying to save.
That's square.
Yeah, go on.
All right. I lost my place. Okay, so Comey did not cite specific past cases that would have been more difficult for the FBI to investigate these new policies, which only would involve physical access to a suspect or victim's phone when the owner is unable or unwilling to unlock it for authorities.
Let me jump in there. Most of what the cops do nationwide, from, you know, federal down to state, down to local, most of what cops do, I don't even know the percentages, I'd say 80 to 90% of what cops do with unlocking cell phones and just in general is arrest people for drugs. Arresting people for drugs doesn't keep anyone safer. And even if you don't do drugs, you should be against it because of that. You know, first, they came for the potheads. I did not speak up. Secondly, I can give you just factual proof of why you should be against the war on drugs if you don't do drugs. I don't do drugs. I haven't even had a drink in 20 years, and I'm against the war on drugs because that leads to the cops having tanks. It leads to them having believing they have the right to kick in your door. It leads to them kicking in the wrong door. This is happening more and more. They kick in the wrong door because some, you know, good enough for government work secretary transposed two numbers on a warrant on the address. And, you know, or they have somebody in custody who's trying to get out of something. They know they can't get out it. They, you know, they're being harassed to give up something. And they give up your name because they don't like you because you own guns or because you, you know, you tell them not to park in their driveway or something. That stuff happens all the time. People get their door kicked in. And, you know, most good Americans, when their door is kicked in, will go for a gun. And then they murder you and then they get a paid vacation. That's what happens, man.
Well, it's totally ridiculous because I live in Maine, which tends to be a more rural area.
It's almost Canada, man. You're almost Quebecois, really, aren't you?
Well, I'm not because I'm in southern Maine. But actually, I'm in central Maine. But, you know, we have Oxford County, which is very rural, lower income. And DHS just gave one of those, what is super tanks, MRAPs or whatever. To Oxford County. And I'm like, why? You know, what are they going to go run over moose with it or what?
Because they can. Because, you know, people like toys, and people that want to be cops want violent toys. And, you know, what's cooler than your own tank with wheels?
Well, and then they have to use it to justify it.
Do they?
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Like, if they don't use it
back to what you,
if they don't use it for anything except parades, would it get taken away from them?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because in a couple of the summer parades around here, yeah, they trotted one of those out, and I was like,
Yeah, and they take it to the park, you know, on picnic day, police picnic day, and they let the little kids sit in it and pretend to be goons, and the parents let them and take a picture with it and think it's cute because they're, you know, their 8-year-old or 5-year-old is sitting in a tank. And that's just training for the next generation. You know what that's training for, people? America, listen up. Taking your kids to the park and setting them in that police Bearcat or MRAP and taking a picture and thinking it's cute, you are teaching your kids and the neighborhood kids to grow up and take away your guns. Those are that's the generation. I mean, not even, you know, that young, but like the people now are going to do that. When they legalize pot in a few years, which, you know, they should, although legalizing it is more like regulating it and turning it into a government commodity, and using it as a bargaining chip. And, you know, Hillary is going to suddenly come out as pro pot a little bit before the election, because the demographics will have shifted by then to like 51% are, well, it's far more than that, they're in favor of legalizing it. But, you know, it'll be a tipping point at that point.
Hey, we called it, I think, last year when we said it was going to be Jeb Bush and Hillary, because running in whatever the next election cycle
is. I said that as a joke, but is that what it's going to be?
Well, Jeb Bush just came out and said he's going to run, and you know Hillary's going to, so.
The dynasty of Bushes.
All over again.
Yeah, the first one was the head of the CIA. The second one was almost retarded. And the third one is just your garden variety tyrant, man. People are so stupid. I want a new planet. Can you 3D print me a new planet?
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Sabbath to get us going.
Yeah, it took me like eight bars to figure out how to peg that Sabbath melody into that non-Sabbath music that I played. And it is the Sabbath, so let's go on. Chandler, bring us back in.
So we were reading from this article about the FBI's complaints concerning Apple and Google encrypting
you
their
kids aren't playing fair. We can't do what we usually do.
So this FBI guy says, and he's so square, he's like, what concerns me about this is companies marketing something expressly to allow people to hold themselves beyond the law.
Oh, come on, man. That's so square. Like, it's basically marketing people to be, like, put it this way. I don't do anything criminal. I like having sassy love talk with my wife. I don't like the idea of some, you know, bureaucrat hired off a pizza box in some corner, you know, in some cubicle listening to it. I don't like it.
You know what that's like? It's like if he was to make this argument about wood paneling for inside your house, we can't have this wood paneling in people's houses, because how are we going to see through their walls and see what they're doing? We can't have privacy. What?
I know.
Double pane windows to have privacy and not allow your neighbors to hear everything that you're saying. We can't have that.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the line that just throws me. This FBI square guy, he says, at another point, he said he feared a moment when people with tears in their eyes look at me and say, "What? You mean you can't break into our phones?"
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know.
You can't spy on my neighbor's phone to find out what he's saying about me?
Yeah.
That's terrible. Yeah,
so they're not clear. And, I mean, we're not going to bother going through the rest of this article. You can find it online. I'm sure there's several. But like we were saying in the beginning, I think this leads the whole point I'd like to make about this article is that there is definitely an increase in the market for privacy and security. If you look just in Google, what's the store? Google Play. When I first got a smartphone, there was just a couple of chat programs out there, and most of them didn't offer encryption. Now there's tons of them, and you can do multi-account chats, you know, for like Facebook and Hangouts and, you know, Pigeon accounts and all that, and you can encrypt them all. LRN just posted one called Chat Secure, which I tried out, and it was all right. I mean, it had a few drawbacks. It's very memory intensive, but, you know, I mean, if you're value your privacy on your smartphone when you're talking to people, you're willing to sacrifice a little extra memory to have that privacy.
And I think you're just
going to see this continue.
Here's the thing. This is a bold step forward because it's two giant companies, you know, two of the biggest companies in America, Google and Apple. I think Apple is the richest company in the world. Don't they actually have more cash on hand than the US government? I believe that was the case a year ago.
Well, they have a lot of pennies. I know that.
Yeah. Why so?
In the lawsuit with the touch glass for the smartphones and tablets, where they were against Samsung, the default went to Apple. So Samsung had to pay them some ridiculous amount, a couple of million dollars.
Pennies?
And they paid it in pennies. They had a bunch of dump trucks come to Apple headquarters and dump the pennies.
I didn't know that. That's pretty funny. Yeah, but, you know, these companies are making it easy to do this. And here's the thing, like, encryption's been around, you know, usable computer encryption's been around for 10 or 15 years, but it's been kind of hard to use. And actually, Ben and I had a pair of secure encrypted phones that a friend of ours made, a guy we trust who made these phones that, you know, they don't work over phone, but they work if you're near a, you know, wireless network that is open to you. It goes through a VPN and it's totally encrypted voice. And Ben and I had them for like 2 years and we barely used them. We just actually recently returned them to the guy because we were like, and it's not a case of I don't have anything to hide. I don't care what the government says. I have nothing to hide and I absolutely don't want the government listening to it. And, you know, I don't really say anything on phones or even think much out in my head that I don't say on the radio, but I just don't want people listening to it. And that's considered like, you know, the government wants you to think that's abnormal, but I think that's totally normal. And I think it's totally abnormal and pretty darn un-American to say things out loud or in your head or to your neighbors like, well, I think that they should be able to listen to all the phones because I have nothing to hide. And if we don't do that, the terrorists win and children will be teleported to Planet Sex Bot over these phones. I mean, the people making these rules are so old and square and stupid. And I'm old. I'm 50, but I'm not square. Stop being square, people. There you go. We'll be back with more tyranny on the Liberty Show.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
My fellow sheep,
Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Sounds better.
Dude, that bass line's hypnotizing.
Thanks, man. That's a song called We Are the Good Guys, and it's basically about the government being the bad guys and we being the good guys. And yeah, I played everything on it, including the xylophone samples, which I did on my computer. I don't even have a keyboard. I did it with a little pop-up keyboard and did it with a mouse and then just moved them around in the timeline. It was actually the only time I've ever done anything useful with MIDI. So I have a couple of announcements.
How many, Michael, how many punk rock musicians have actually performed on the xylophone?
I've never performed on a xylophone. I've played one in a music store, but I didn't play a xylophone. I played a computer emulation of a xylophone on that.
Oh, okay, so your punk credentials is still good then.
I don't know. My punk credentials back in the day, like using any kind of anything other than guitar, bass, and drums and screaming was kind of made people look at you askance. But you know who actually made keyboards cool? Well, first it was Devo, but they were still kind of uncool. But it was Marilyn Manson. It was Nine Inch Nails. It was your buddy there, Chandler.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and he played the xylophone in one of the shows I went to.
Cool, man. So I have two interesting announcements. One is three. One is Monday is me and DJ's 8th wedding anniversary. That's pretty cool.
Cool. Oh, congrats.
Yeah.
Thanks. And I realized that means that last week, like about 9 days before that, was 8 years of me podcasting almost daily. Because we started a podcast like right before we got married. So I've been doing talking into a mic several times a week and expressing my feelings for 8 years now, man. That's pretty cool.
That rocks.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm still working on that how to podcast video. And here's the interesting thing. Now, it's interesting to me, probably not to anyone else. Yesterday's archive of the show, I did something I haven't done in about 2 years, which is I put out, if you notice the file name of the archive, it doesn't end in MB, which is medium bandwidth. It ends in FD, full bandwidth or something, FB. It's put out 128K MP3 encoding instead of 96, which is what I usually do. So it sounds a little better. The file size is a little bigger. I would like feedback on this. I would like people to tell me if they love it, if they hate it, if it was took too long to download on their smartphone chromed robot turd, or if they were just like, yes, yes, I noticed the difference on my earbuds and headphones, and this is much better. Because here's the thing. I work incredibly hard at making this show sound as good as it possibly can and teaching other people to do the same thing and making remote hosts over Skype sound as good as they possibly can. And then we have to crunch it down and make it not sound as good so we can get it over the internet quicker. But here's the thing. Derek Slopey has been kind enough to move us over to his non-shared server, his rack space at some professional data center somewhere. So our downloads,
in his basement.
No, it's not. It's in a remote nation. It's not even in the US. But it's, I looked at the specs of it and I've actually measured the download time. Stuff downloads a lot quicker from the Freedom Fiends now. And
yes,
the site is like almost, it hasn't been down for even a minute in like 3 or 4 weeks, which is never used to happen. It used to be down about 5 minutes a week at least on the old server because we're getting too popular. So we're on this really fast server now. So even the bigger files I'm putting up now should download quicker than the smaller files before. The bottleneck might be people with chromed robot turds that are on G3 instead of G4. So let me know if anybody has a problem downloading the show, and let me know if anybody notices a difference and any other feedback you have. I'll do the same thing today, too. So there it is, people.
I'm curious, what do you know what codec you use to encode to MP3?
Yeah, lame.
Okay, there's another one, because I used to use lame. And there's another one. I'll have to look it up. It's installed on my computer. And the compression is a little bit higher, and it actually sounds a little bit better. Because I can, if you've gone to my site and listened, our casts are pretty good sound-wise. And they, I encode mine at 64 mono. And you can't tell.
Yeah, you know, mono versus stereo doesn't make a difference in MP3 file sizes. It does in uncompressed files like WAVs and AIFFs. But all other things the same, like sampling rate and bit rate, a mono MP3 is the same file size as a stereo MP3, although there probably might be a little bit to be said for the mono one will sound better with mono program material because it's doing less encoding in that 64 bits.
Well, yeah, you don't get the audio artifacts as much when you do mono.
You know what, though? Mono, I don't use mono, first of all, because the music I put in is stereo, even though us going over the radio is mono. I record on my end and then put in, like, all our ads are stereo, and they use stereo well. But here's the thing. Some older MP3 players can't play mono files. So you're, really? You're cutting out, 5% of your listenership by using mono files.
Well, I'll have to change that.
But I want to know that codec, like, during the next break. Can you look it up and let me know?
Mm-hmm. I'll try to find it.
It's important to me. Okay, so this is the Freedom Fiends. We talk about the tyranny of the government, and then we talk about technical issues with computers. And some people love it, and some people scratch their heads. But, the thing is, it's kind of weird, the difference between radio and a podcast show on the internet, because podcast show on the internet, you can be as niche as possible. You can be the tyranny and MP3 encoding discussion show. And on the radio, that's considered not good radio because some people don't get it. And radio is broadcasting. The internet is narrowcasting. The internet people, since the bandwidth is almost zero cost and you don't have the regulations and you don't need the equipment, internet radio shows, so-called quote-unquote radio shows, which this is when it's not on the radio, the archives are MP3s on an RSS feed, they tend to be a lot more single purpose or narrow criteria, whereas radio is supposed to be lowest common denominator. How insulting is that? So if you're a little baffled for a minute, just remember, we're being not lowest common denominator. We're being a little smarter than the other shows, but we're smart, but we're not like, oh, I'm smarter than you. I could talk to anybody, man. So let's talk about some tyranny. That'll get everybody back in the sitting up in their seats. Go ahead, man. What did Arizona do to you today?
Arizona didn't do anything to me because I don't live there, but they have this new naked photo law that makes free speech a felony. So the article starts off.
Now this article, you're reading from the ACLU site, which is going to shock a lot of people, but
hey, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, man. And the ACLU fights a good fight overall. They don't do anything to hurt you, you Republican sitting and listening to your radio. They don't do anything to hurt you. And they have a bad rap because they defend people you don't like. But you know what? Defending people you don't like protects you because the Bill of Rights is for everybody.
If you think about what is a hero is not just a person who only defends people that, like his mother or his children or whatever. That's not really heroic. Heroic is when somebody defends someone who they don't know and they have nothing to gain by defending that person. And that's kind of what the ACLU does.
Exactly.
Well, what's the quote? I may disagree with you, but I'll fight to the death to defend your right to say what you want.
Yeah.
Something like that. Exactly.
That was one of those patriot heroes from back in the day that people love to, they get all like warm in their hearts when they see them. But then when they see other people doing the same thing now, they go, I don't like it because they're defending people I don't like.
Well, when I hear that quote, all I think is the old guy on Futurama, the old lawyer.
But, yeah. Well, put it this way. The ACLU are a bunch of Jewish attorneys who defended a bunch of Nazis' right to free speech and have done that more than once. That's really like putting some skin in the game, you know?
Yeah.
So go on reading from the ACLU blog about what Arizona did to you today.
All right. Listeners, which of the following could land you a felony conviction in Arizona? Showing images of naked prisoners tortured at Abu Ghraib? Linking to the iconic Pulitzer Prize winning photographs of Napalm Girl showing an unclothed Vietnamese girl running from a napalm attack?
That picture gave me nightmares when I was a kid.
I'm glad I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it was on the cover of Time or Life magazine. It was like a, you know, 8-year-old naked kid running down the street in Vietnam. Yes. Like literally, like she'd ripped her clothes off because they were burning because they'd been the town had been sprayed with napalm. Yes. Yeah, that photo deserved a Pulitzer Prize. It was pretty iconic and scary and kind of brought the war home, you know?
Yes. Sharing a close-up photo of a woman's breast with a breastfeeding support group, waving a friend over to see a cute naked baby pic like the one you see on this page.
I don't.
Unfortunately,
see it. I ain't looking at it.
Yeah,
well, that's, you know, good radio. Go to jail.
Unfortunately, the answer is all of the above.
I'm not looking at it because we might be on the radio in Arizona, and if I'm looking at it, no, I don't know. Go on.
That's because Arizona passed a law that makes it a felony and potentially a sex offense to share any image of nudity or sexuality before you get the consent from every person pictured. So I guess you have to ask your baby to sign a consent form.
Yeah. And the thing is, the reason we're talking about this is because we want to talk about unintended consequences. And we're not talking about the good book by John Ross that he actually, I think, pulled from publication because the government was hassling him about it. You know what's interesting? That book has been found in a couple like crazy violent people's houses when the police raided them. And the FBI has trotted that out. Like, see, this is the kind of people this book creates. And John Ross pointed out something I like to quote a lot. And it's true that you can't judge a book or author by whoever finds it and likes it. And his example was the fact that when the FBI raided the Unabomber shack and the FBI, yeah. The FBI said, oh, we did this until we did all this work and found this guy. No, his brother recognized his writing and turned him in. When the FBI raided his windowless shack that had no electricity, the only book he owned was a book by Al Gore about why we need carbon credits and we need to regulate everything to protect the environment. So
Earth in the balance.
Yeah. So I guess reading Al Gore turns you into a mad bomber if you go by that tack. So we are talking about unintended consequences. And we'll talk more about that when we get back of why when you say there ought to be a law. That law is never going to be reined in for just what it ought to be for, even if it's for something good. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Hi, this is
Michael. I had to turn my compression up because I'm getting ranty and overmodulating. the government! That requires more compression than when I'm mellow.
Hey, man, so all balanced audio cables are stereo, right?
Yeah, well, they have three wires in them.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Ben, are you clearing your throat in time with the music?
I was meowing in a very deep voice. Fortunately, I keep my feathers.
Okay, Chandler, bring us in, sir.
Well, we were discussing unintended consequences with the new Arizona nude photo law. And I don't know, man. I read all this stuff. My Facebook and Twitter accounts get blown up every day with the tyranny stuff. And it's just like, it doesn't surprise me anymore. Everything is so square. There's a law for everything. And I just want to get away from it. Like you said, can we 3D print a new planet?
I want that to catch on. I want that to be a meme. Can we 3D print a new planet? It should be. And
it should be.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody today that's, I don't know, I think a little younger than me, but still kind of was in the punk rock scene in Berkeley and San Francisco. And we were chatting about, like, everybody back then called themselves an anarchist, but they were all ANCOMs, anarcho-communists, leftist anarchists who, you know, God bless them, they hate the government, but they also just want to replace the government with, like, they steal everybody's stuff and redistribute it and pass it around, which I ain't down with, and neither are you guys, right?
No, and they still don't get the whole violence part. And, you know, reading this Arizona nude law photo,
Hang on. Let me finish this thought. Zoom. I forgot how self-righteous a lot of those people were, the ANCOMs. They would constantly, like, tell you, oh, you're wearing leather boots. That's not good because that oppresses animals. Oh, you're drinking a Coca-Cola. They're a multinational death corporation. And I know that because the band Millions of Dead, MDC, Millions of Dead Cops, who later changed their name to Multi-Death Corporations, told me that they were bad. And you know what? I lived downstairs from MDC. I knew MDC. And you, sir, should know that MDC sometimes ate at McDonald's when they were on tour and they were in a hurry. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I forgot how preachy those people were and just barked in your face all the time, self-righteously telling you what to do. And you know what? That happens with anarcho-capitalists too. Maybe not quite as much, but at least not with the ones I surround myself with. You know, my dirty dozen armed gang of miscreants who hangs out with me at Porkfest. But I just can't even look on the Facebooks for more than 2 minutes a day, man, face beef. Because it's like, every time you're on there, you make a joke, like you post the really cool pin that we came up with, state speech is hate speech. And some newly minted libertarian jumps on and, like, humorlessly lectures me, going, oh, well, real libertarians don't believe in hate speech, so you shouldn't use that term. It's so preachy and so ridiculous, man. And it's like, here's what you got to do. I'm going to preach it, y'all who are preaching it, everybody. I'm going to lovingly tell you, that don't help, man. And it's not really the way to change anything. And you're just mentally waggling the thing around with your mouse on the internet by doing that. And I'm not going to make some term, you know, I'm not going to say, get a life. You should be doing other things, because I spend an inordinate amount of time on the computer. But I'm generally creating stuff rather than viewing stuff. But also, and I'm not going to say, you live in your mother's basement. But I will say this. I will not take economic advice on economics or how the world should be organized from someone who lives with their parents or someone who's never not lived with their parents. If you've gone out and worked for a couple years and the economy is so bad that you had to move back with your parents, I might still listen to what you have to say. But if you have never left your parents' bedroom or basement, I mean, and wow. Or never, that was not a Freudian slip. That's just a mistake. If you've never left your parents' support or, you know, partial support, even going to college, like you're still being supported by your parents and the state, you don't really understand economics, because somebody who has no knowledge of Austrian economics, who's actually supported themselves for a year, understands economics better than somebody who's always lived with their parents and has read Mises. So there. Yeah.
Well, it's theory versus practice.
Yeah, man. So Arizona. So here's the thing about unintended laws. Oh, did you have another comment before we go into this?
Well, you know, you're just talking about all this, and every time I hear this, I think these people are just asking the government to point more guns.
Yeah, so really quick, while we're going out, I'll finish it up. So Arizona passed a law banning sharing nude photos that was to protect people's privacy, because sometimes people on the internet, they break up and they post the other person's naked photo on the internet to shame them. It's called shame porn or something like that. So they passed a law against it, but they wrote it so broadly that it will put you in prison for anything, even sharing a naked picture of your baby, you know, toddling or something. Or art pictures or anything. And Arizona's cops will enforce it to the point where they forget about the original intent of the law, and they will throw you in prison for anything that's not violent, that's not hurting anybody, that's consensual among consensual adults. That's what cops do, and that's what the government does, and that's what politicians do, and that's what One More Nanny Law does. We'll be back with Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends soon.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Good morning, Barstow, and good afternoon, Bangor. Is it Bangor or Banger?
Banger.
It's actually Bangor. I don't know her. I don't even know her. Hey, so we're going to talk about non-tyranny stuff. What are we going to talk about that's non-tyrannical, guys?
Well, I don't know, man, but I just made a fruit and vegetable smoothie, and it's really good. I'm starting to dig this stuff.
That's probably worth talking about. Yeah, let's talk about food health for a few minutes.
That's a whole show right there, man.
I don't know much about it, but I think we're going to talk about the origin of the word outlaw. And I just pigeoned this to both of you guys.
Yes.
Maybe Ben can... actually, let's have Chandler read some of this. The thing is, it's interesting. Outlaw is commonly thought to be someone who lives outside the law, but the original meaning of it was someone it was legal to kill and who was not protected by the law, which is kind of creepy and spooky. And I think we're getting to the point where everyone's an outlaw again in the original sense of the word, because the government kills people all the time in America and elsewhere and just gets away with it. And when it happens here, when cops do it, it's like paid vacation time, you know, when they tase a pregnant woman and throw her to the ground because she said, I don't want you to give me a ticket. I wasn't going that fast. Yeah. Go ahead, Chandler, read some of this, please.
All right. This article is about the legal concept. It says, in historical legal systems, an outlaw is declared as outside the protection of the law. In pre-modern societies, the criminal is withdrawn all legal protection so that anyone is legally empowered to persecute or kill them.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. And are back to that. Think about drone strikes.
Sounds very much like a social contract, too. Like,
I think the next line of that is really important, though.
Go ahead, Ben.
It says outlawry was thus one of the harshest penalties in the legal system. And then it goes on to say that in early German law, in early Germanic law, this is not just the state of Germany, this is among the Germanic people. In early Germanic law, the death penalty is conspicuously absent, and outlawing is the most extreme punishment.
They would just make it legal to kill you.
This goes way beyond shaming. You know, we in the libertarian communities, we talk about shaming people based on their actions. This just goes way beyond it.
You know, I think it's important to realize, though, that in Germanic societies, no government had the authority to kill. That's a really important thing, because if you just take that one aspect out of the hands of government, it changes the whole argument. Government should not have the right to indiscriminately... Well, no, let me rephrase that. Government should not have the right to kill. That should be a purely private right in a self-defense situation.
Yeah, but that doesn't jive with modern geopolitical definitions of government, including the one that Obama likes to... You know, there is video of him saying is the definition... The pure definition of government is... a monopoly of violence in a specific geographic region, which is why I go back to saying, and I would really like someone to actually figure this out and mock it up. I think the flag of a nation, instead of being something with, different colors, I think it should be a white field with black text on it. That's just, you know, four GPS coordinates of the four corners of the country, because really that's what people are pledging allegiance to when they pledge allegiance to a flag is, my bunch of dirt is better than your bunch of dirt. And I still can't wrap my head around people who say, I love my country, but I don't trust my, or I hate my government, or I don't trust my government, because I really think they're indistinguishable. And any arguments people give you otherwise are just kind of logical fallacies and just kind of playing in the mud and just kind of mincing words. And it's like, there's nothing about any nation when it's on its downward spiral like the U.S. is in kind of a Roman, you know, collapse of Rome, modern sense like it is now. There's nothing you can do to restore the Republic. And if you look at the history of the Republic, it's so marred with violence against innocent people. And I'm not just talking about, killing the natives that were here, which was horrible before they could have a nation, they had to clear out. It's kind of like, oh, America's this great house we're going to move into. We just have to kill all the inhabitants first, and then it's ours. I'm talking about like back to George Washington murdering war vets from the Revolutionary War who'd fought side by side with him for not paying a tax that he wanted on whiskey that was higher than the tax they'd fought the British over. I mean, there's no point you can go back to and say, this is when America was good, let's go back there. And anybody who remembers and says, things were better when I was young, are suffering from like America of the mind. They're suffering from beaver cleaver syndrome. They're remembering things in black and white instead of the bloody color. You know, I mean, my age, 50, what do you go back to? When I was a kid, things were good. We had Richard Nixon, Kent State, and the Vietnam War. You know, like, there's no point to go back to that was good.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. But I think sometimes when you talk to people and they say that, they're also considering, look at cops back then. You know, you had Sheriff Andy.
There were mellower things too, but,
they just remember the good things.
Yeah, but if you weren't white, it was like it is now. You know, basically what they've done is they've made things more racially equal. Instead of not beating up black people, now they beat up and oppress black and white and all kinds of people. And, you know, we are guilty of thought crime here. We're basically talking about, hey, isn't America supposed to be about freedom? But what is what does David Cameron say? Ben, the emperor of the UK, the prime minister of the UK. What does he say about what we're doing, and where did he say it?
Well, he recently gave a speech on the UN floor, and he said that nonviolent extremism is just as dangerous as terrorism. And he said that it needed to be eradicated using all means at the government's disposal. And then he referenced people
by any means necessary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's scary.
At the government's disposal. And he specifically referenced anybody who didn't believe the exact government story on what happened in 9/11 or in England in 7/7. So anybody who
if you ask questions, you should be killed. That's what he said.
That's essentially what he said.
You should be
jailed
and or killed.
If you say, why did Building 7 fall when no airplane hit it? Then that question alone.
I don't ever even get into that whole thing. Here's my thing. I don't doubt that the government would have, any government would have done that, but I still can't look at blurry pictures with red arrows on them and say, this is proof. But here's the thing. I don't need to do that because governments admit as mission statements so many horrible things.
Yeah.
I don't even have to go into, I don't like to use the word conspiracy theories, but I don't even have to go into the things that people can say, you're wrong, you're seditious for even considering that. I can look at the mission statement of the U.S. government. I can look at the laws they pass. I can look at the speeches they give and say, this is enough to talk about that's horrible and proves they're bad and should go away.
I mean, basically, if you want to avoid the whole quote-unquote conspiracy theory argument, just look at what has happened as a result of 9/11.
There you go.
I mean, we had the Patriot Act and the
NDAA. Hey, who's this we? Pull me into that. I didn't do that.
The slaves in the geographic location of the United States.
The four GPS coordinates that,
yeah.
I mean, really, there's a lot of overseas holdings that you'd have to add to that list. But really, I think the flag that someone should make is like, you know, the top of Maine, the bottom of Florida GPS coordinate, you know, the bottom of below San Diego, and then up by Seattle, you know, past Seattle, Vancouver, Washington area. So I would like to see that flag if someone wants to make it high-res PNG format. It's just, you know, a white field with black aerial type text on it that has those four GPS coordinates. And, you know, why does New York State call itself the Empire State? Do they actually have overseas holdings? They probably do. I don't know.
You know, going back to what you were saying there a second ago, you don't have to believe in a bunch of conspiracies to think that there's something seriously wrong with government. If you just go to the CIA's website and read what they have published for the public to read, it's terrifying.
And that's organization.
Oh, truth is stranger than fiction.
And that's an organization whose entire mission statement is based on secrecy. And think about the horrific nature of what they make public. Oh my.
Yeah. If they make all that stuff public, what aren't they telling us? Did you guys see, and this beyond government creating its edicts and trying to enslave its tax cattle, what really, really worries me and scares me is the people in this country. There was a petition submitted to whitehouse.gov to make CopBlock and all its affiliates and branches considered domestic terrorists.
Whoa!
Wow.
Those are friends of ours, man. CopBlock is an organization that basically just takes pictures of police and video of police. It's about police accountability. It's not about shooting cops. It's not about destroying cops. It's not about... It's about taking pictures of cops. There have been some kind of creepy posts on that site, but, you know, that going after them for that is kind of, it's a site where like people can sign up and then anybody can post anything. I guess they might have an editorial policy, but I mean, I'm not going to get into the internal politics of them, but that's basically saying we need to outlaw free speech and drone it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows the ignorance and the propaganda that is out there, that to hold police officers accountable for their atrocities is now considered terrorism, you know, because you follow somebody around with a camera. That's terrorism.
When they follow you around with cameras all day, every day, that are embedded in everything and tap your phones. You know, it just came out that the Obama administration is trying to make sure that local police departments don't give away any information on how they are locally spying on all cell phone traffic. Which doesn't sound like news at this point, but it is kind of news because we did think that this was only the feds doing this. So local police agencies are being given billions with a B dollars worth of equipment to basically sweep up all cell phone traffic and be able to track who is where based on their cell phones, you know, to look for the tiny needle in the haystack of legitimate cell phone use that actually is criminal. And of course, there's a lot of people in there who are probably guilty of nanny laws. But as we said in the first hour, if you're, even if you hate drugs, you should be against the war on drugs, because the war on drugs leads to the ability of the cops to pull over you, the non-drug using, and me, the non-drug using driver, and search their car without a warrant, confiscate any cash they find because it might be drug money, make you hire a lawyer that costs more than the money that they stole to try to get it back, kick in your door in the middle of the night, throw a flashbang grenade into a baby's crib and permanently disfigure the baby, shoot your dog, shoot your grandmother, and all the other things that police have been doing. We'll be back. I thought this was going to be a fun episode, guys. What happened? Tyranny. Government happened.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Good afternoon, Columbia, South Carolina. Take it, Chandler.
Lake Isabella, California.
Take it, Chandler.
So, Michael, I heard that Casper, Wyoming is one of the 50 greatest cities to live in.
Don't believe it. And anybody listening in Casper, don't think I'm dissing the GPS coordinates that you were born into and saying anything bad about you. I am trying to protect us by saying, no, man, it's a bad place. Don't move here. Because basically, in the 5 years I've lived here, the population's gone from 49,000 to 56,000. And you can feel it. Like, it used to be really nice traffic, you know, being in stores, never ran into angry people. And we're starting to get like 1% or 3% more like kind of big city feel, you know? So, no, Casper's horrible. Don't move here. Everyone go away. I'm the opposite of Ian Freeman. Ian Freeman's like, Keene, New Hampshire is the most wonderful place on earth. Everyone move here. I'm like, I'm in Casper, Wyoming. Everyone move to Keene, New Hampshire instead of coming here.
Well, you it was funny because you were telling me how you live in this small town called Casper, Wyoming, and your population's like 56, 59,000.
56.
And the population of my town is about 13,000.
Population of your town is 56 people, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the population of the town I plan to move to soon.
Yeah. Well, I will say this about Casper. It has the worst internet of anywhere I've lived, and it's gotten worse as more people have moved here and more people who've never been on the internet have finally gotten on the internet, to the point where having the fast cable internet connection no longer works for solidly connecting to the network to do the radio show. And I had to buy DSL, which is the thing that cable replaced about 10 years ago. So I now am paying for two internet connections. It's going to cost me $500 more a year to have this DSL. So if anyone wants to make a donation, I rarely stump for donations. But at this point, you know, I used to make about $200 a month at this show. Now I'm breaking even because I don't have time to hustle advertisers anymore, because since we went to seven times a week, you know, I work nights during the week now doing the show. So I don't get up until like too late to really call advertisers in most time zones. And I really don't want to hustle. I would rather just use that ad space for fun stuff that we totally believe in, because it's pretty hard for me to get advertisers anyway, because I will only advertise things I would absolutely use, which really cuts down on it. And then like the few things that I would advertise that I use are probably already being advertised by GCN, and I can't poach their clients, you know, or it's like friends of mine that don't have any money. So, we don't have any advertisers right now. So if anyone wants to make a donation to help with that $500 a year more I'm going to have to pay now to keep the show solidly connected. The thing is, DSL is way slower than cable. Like cable, when it's good, is like 30 to 35 megabits per second download and like 4 to 6 megabits per second upload. And DSL is like, you know, 1 megabit up and 1.5 megabits down.
Which
sounds really slow, but it's way more solid. It's a dedicated line. You don't share it with your neighbors. So when your neighbors are all looking at Netflix and porn between, you know, 8 p.m. and midnight, it's cable slows down to like dial-up speed sometimes, and you can't do a show over it. And I'm getting a router that'll switch between over to the DSL when the cable is slow. So I'll always have internet, but it's going to cost me a lot of money. So go ahead, Chandler.
Yeah, so you were talking about the duopoly of the internet services, and we kind of see
that. Yeah, there's only two providers here. There's Charter, who provide cable, and there is CenturyLink, who provide DSL. Then there's like, you know, AT&T for G4, but you can't do a show over G4. Right. And then there's a satellite company. And satellite has too much latency to do a show. Like if we could do it, but it would be like over, I'd have to say over and wait 4 seconds for you guys to even hear it to start to respond. So,
well, one of the things I've noticed is there's definitely that duopoly almost everywhere you go. Up here in Maine, we have Time Warner Cable, which is what I have right now. And Fairpoint, which I think used to be Verizon. And that's
but Time Warner is good. You have a duopoly of like a really good one and a okay one. Here we have a duopoly of like, you know, what's commonly considered dead last of the two internet service providers in the country.
Well, yeah, we'll get back to this a little more because I have a few comments on DSL versus cable.
Okay, cool. Let's go to the market and sell some things.
Competition, baby.
I'm lying on the bed petting a cat. I'm doing radio.
Is that what you kids are calling it now?
I'm chewing a smoothie.
Yay.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio worms.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
What's up, guys?
So is that you purring or the cat?
That's me. Now, the cat that purrs is not in this room. The cat that purrs is the one that purrs so loud it wakes me up sometime. Charlie, she's 16. You know,
we still have commercials going on.
We do?
I don't.
I don't. Ben, I think that's the hamster in your brain. Everything's done to a time clock, or to an atomic clock.
I hear a commercial right now.
Yeah, that's because you clicked on an ABC News affiliate site like I told you not to, because I said it's going to open up autoplay video. That is my guess, Ben. Am I correct?
That's what I found out to be, except I had already closed that browser, so it popped up.
It pops down. It under pops. It goes like where you can't find it. Yeah.
I hate those.
That is so rude.
It's like a social contract. That is people tricking you into getting commercials you don't want on the internet. It's basically the internet being trained to act like TV, but worse. I don't like it.
Fortunately, it didn't go out on the radio.
Yeah. So we were talking about DSL versus cable in the last segment. What do you got there, Chandler?
Well, yeah. So I have Time Warner, and for a while it was working, and it still does, but it was working really good. And
DSL or cable?
Cable. Time Warner cable. And I've noticed the slowdown times, too, with increased usage.
The slowdown times are, what happens is, because it was solid for 5 years here, and then all of a sudden the past month it's been horrible.
Yes.
For like 2 or 3 hours between 8 p.m. and midnight, which is like generally prime time I'm doing a show. So what it is it's companies vastly overselling their capacity. Like everywhere you go in this town, there's Charter ads on the radio, on the TV, on the side, on billboards, on, you know, bus stop. Well, there aren't really bus stops here, but everywhere you go, there's Charter ads. I almost said Chandler ads. There's Charter ads. And, you know, they're doing basically the way a lot of companies work in a lot of mediums, a lot of realms, but especially in internet connectivity, is they vastly oversell their capacity to raise money to buy the capacity.
Well, they used to do that with cell phone towers, too. They'd advertise service before they had all their towers up, and then the service was less than great. Yeah. But, yeah, so up here, and I've noticed the slowdown times, too, early in the morning, like 6:37, which is kind of strange. But
it's weird.
Yeah, so it comes and goes, and it's not really too bad of a problem yet. I think as population increases, it probably will, because so many people are sick of Fairpoint that they're going to cable. But I used to have a local provider.
Yeah, I got to say, you know what's kind of fun about this? Like, I tried to call my provider, you know, my provider, the only provider for cable in this town, Charter, and I complained to them, and it's like, you know, I was complaining to somebody in India who had no power to do anything, and then like demanded to speak to a supervisor, and you know, they waited 5 minutes and then transferred me to probably somebody at the next desk who was imitating a supervisor who wasn't. But it's like, I can go on radio and talk to, you know, 50 or 100,000 people and just say, Charter is not doing what I would like a company to do. I'm going to be careful and choose my words, because more and more companies are like crushing free speech by suing people, even who post negative comments on, like, you know, Angie's List or something. But I will say, I'm not happy with Charter.
Well, I'm not there yet with Time Warner, but I will say that I miss a company that I used to have for years and years. I had a internet company called GWI, and they were a phone, you know, first dial up and then DSL. And they were really good. And I've got to tell you, the speeds I got almost matched cables. On,
wow.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, the only reason
I didn't think that was technically possible with phone line DSL.
You know, I didn't think so either, but reading more and more, I guess what it depends on, and this is what one of the techs told me, because when I bought my new house, I was like, okay, I need to transfer my internet service, you know, first thing. And I had it all hooked up, and I was not getting any speed. I mean, it was just horrible. It was like dial-up. And I was like, what's going on? You guys have been great for 10 years. And what he told me is they have relay boxes throughout the city that route the DSL to different locations with the fiber optic cable and all that stuff. I don't know all the technical things. But
the
basically,
tubes. The technical term is tubes, I
tubes.
Believe.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
The tubes.
Not at all dump trucks.
Yeah. So basically,
the dump truck is at 6 a.m. when he can't get on at all. They're sending a dump truck of data over the internet.
Yeah, they're dumping it. So basically what it boiled down to,
it's the NSA uploading all the cell phone stuff the local police gathered for them overnight.
Yeah, so basically, I couldn't stick with this provider, which I really liked. They, like, the best thing about this provider was their customer service would answer within, two or three rings. And it was somebody not only in this that could speak English well, it was
technical,
somebody,
yeah.
It was somebody like right in Maine, like, that I could have a conversation with.
You know, that used to be the case with HostGator. Before I left them and went to, I'm actually still hosting a couple blogs that I never use on HostGator as a backup too. Like the thing is, when things are oversold, I kind of have to like buy the new one as the backup, but keep the old one for a while too, just to see.
Right.
And I'm not gonna be able to get rid of cable. I'm gonna have to keep DSL because I need the speed of cable sometimes for, you know, like uploading massive amount, like moving a website, things like that. And DSL won't cut it, but DSL will cut it for doing the show.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting. My whole point with this was, I guess it depends on how far your house is from the relay box, because when I bought my new house, it was like right on the verge of me not even being able to get service. So it wasn't worth it, you know, and I had no choice but to go to Time Warner. So I guess it's worth looking into. But when I used to live at my old place, I'm telling you, I got speeds. I could upload and download rather large files quickly.
Yep. When I first got, I got DSL in 1996, which was about 4 years before most people did. And it was because I lived in San Francisco, and it was one of the four cities that rolled it out that year. And you had to live within 1,000 feet of a phone company building. And I did. I happened to. So
Yeah. Well, that's... And the other thing I noticed about this DSL provider is they had different tiers of service. You know, I think it was like the 1 megabit, the 5 megabit, and the 8 megabit or whatever. So obviously I had the highest tier, which is probably why I got such good speed. That coupled with the fact that I was very close to the relay box.
And I have a good segue here that'll bring Ben into the conversation. We haven't really heard from Mr. Bad Quaker from the great state of everywhere yet. And the problem that we're talking about is called the last mile issue. It's pretty easy for telecoms and internet service providers to get really high speed internet from one place to another, from one city to another in a big trunk of fiber optics. But getting it from the access point in the city to the homes, the last mile or so, is the biggest problem. And that's where the biggest bottleneck happens. And that's where the most work needs to be done. And if the government would just get out of the way, it could happen a lot quicker. I blame the government for my internet problems. But there's also a last mile problem with Liberty. And it's basically the idea that with a little bit of education, you can go from absolute statist of, oh, we need government to protect the children. And without the government, you can go from that to like deep minarchist in one sitting to like, yep. I think the government should only take care of the roads and the military and international treaties. You can go from that in about an hour if you talk to the right person and they're intelligent and you're open-minded. And the people often go really quickly from total statist to like deep minarchist in a matter of hours or days or a couple weeks. But people often take years, if ever, to go the last mile. From the government's horrible, so the government should only do horrible things, to why should there be a government? And here's my thought. The arguments that are always thrown in your face by the programmed sheep when you present the idea that government causes more problems than it saves, does more harm than good in every case, in every nation, throughout history. They always bring up, but what about the roads? But what about this? But what about that? And if you can't clearly answer how your crystal ball says that would work, they dismiss your entire ideology, or even dismiss even considering the possibility that you might be right, that government causes more problems than it solves. However, I really don't see that as an implement. You know, basically it's like, I don't have all the answers. I just know what's true in my heart, which is that government always does more harm than good. And I leave it up to the scholars to, you know, you can go to FEE, you know, Foundation for Economic Education. You can go to Jeffrey Tucker. You can go to all sorts of people who are kind of the college professors of liberty who will tell you at length, clearly and concisely, how all these things can be done without the government. And I don't really have time for those arguments, and that makes me dismissible to some people, but I think it's more about morality. You know, what do you think, Ben?
It absolutely is. You know, I believe what my grandmother used to tell me, that two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
That's a foundational fact in my mind. You can't lie yourself out of a lie. You can't fix something by harming it more. You can't fix a car by just ramming it into a tree. It doesn't work that way. Good produces good. Bad produces bad. So you can't do wrongs and make right. And so you can't then justify government stealing from someone to do something else with it that you think is going to be good. If they're stealing from someone, which is what all taxation is, if they're stealing from someone, that's bad. And taking that money and giving it to a widow or an orphan or building a charity building of some kind or doing something good does not make up for the fact that you stole the money to begin with. This wouldn't work for a judge. If you walked in front of a judge being accused of robbing a bank and you said, but judge, as soon as I walked out of the bank after I had robbed it, I bought a homeless guy, a hamburger. He doesn't care. You could go, you could say, but your honor, I only robbed one bank today. I walked by three and didn't rob them. He doesn't care. You robbed the bank. And taxation is robbery. It is taking the fruit of your labor, whether you want to give it up or not. And that's robbery. And to do so, and to think that you can then do that bad thing and accomplish a good by it is contrary to moral teachings that have been in Western society since there has been a Western society. And I'm sure it's true in the East as well. So it doesn't make any sense when you boil government down to its most basic function. Its most basic function is to steal from some to give to the other. And if you believe that it's good to steal, then I guess it works for you.
Preach it, Brother Ben. And
Worms.
We'll be back with the redemption in the third act, which is going to probably be all Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, all the time, after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbrich Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com.
Freedom Fiends. You know, when we tell you what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with the way most people think, we're not doing it to make you feel bad. We're not trying to say we're better than you. It's tough love, brothers and sisters out there in Radio Land. And here to give you some very loving tough love is Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. Go ahead, Ben.
It really is tough love. It's saying to somebody that you care about, look, things are bad. Things could be far worse, but we know a path to make things better. And that almost sounds like some kind of cultish kind of a thing, but really it's not. It's just the simplicity of realizing that when you do good things happen back to you again. You know, and being a minister, I'm actually a ordained minister, this falls out of me quite often, but Jesus taught that you should treat others the way that you want to be treated. And it's such a simple rule, but it would change everything if people did it. And that's what when libertarians talk about the non-aggression principle or the zero aggression principle, it's just kind of putting legs to that phrase, to the do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The zero aggression principle or non-aggression principle means that you don't have the right to initiate aggression upon anyone, and no one has the right to initiate aggression upon you. Now,
you can't outsource it either. It's immoral to practice that in your life, but vote and demand that the government do the violence for you.
And that's a really good point, Michael, because when you vote, what you're actually doing is you're petitioning the government to act on your behalf. You're
voting
asking
is
the
un-Christian.
Government.
Voting is un-Christian.
It really is. I have done, you know, hour-long talks where I've compared it to prayer, because really, voting, it's kind of like tithing to a church. That's kind of like taxes, except tithing should be voluntary. You do it out of your heart. But taxes are not. Taxes are what the government takes, whether you want it or not. And voting kind of is kind of a religious thing like that. It's going into it's very much exactly what Jesus taught on how to pray. You go into a closet by yourself. You keep it private. You petition your God for what you want it to do for you. And then you keep that a secret and you leave. And that's what voting is. And that's what prayer is supposed to be. But voting is more than that. Voting is also more people getting together and all their votes, assuming that somebody actually counts all this stuff and assuming that the votes are all real and everything. That means that you're joining hands with other people to force someone to do something. That's what voting is all about.
And you're worshiping the state, which, as you have said many times, is kicking God off. It's kicking God off the throne. Yeah, it's blasphemy.
Yeah.
And not just voting, but doing horizontal enforcement for the state. You know, give me examples of that too, Ben, please.
Sure. Actually, a lot of people don't realize this. In Eastern Germany, when the Cold War was still on and Eastern Germany was a puppet of the Soviet Union and it was a horrible government and everything, you could get arrested for not turning in your neighbor. That's how oppressive the laws were in Eastern Germany.
We're headed
right towards it. And the thing that most people don't realize about Eastern Germany, there weren't really that many government employees out there arresting people for the different thought crimes and so forth that were against the law in Eastern Germany. Almost all of it was enforced through horizontal enforcement, through neighbors, turning in neighbors, people ratting out their neighbors, complaining about their neighbors, complaining about their relatives, and turning them into the government. And more, that's what the U.S. government is teaching its people to do. It's teaching people to rat out your neighbors. Your neighbor is growing something odd in your front yard. Hey, it's okay if it's just a tomato. If it's against the city ordinance, turn them in. Get them arrested. Cause them to be fined. And that's what government does. It encourages people to turn on people. And when you vote, you become a part of this block of people that are all agreeing, yeah, let's all have this as our law and force it on those other 49% that don't want it. And that's why, actually, I believe that voting is a mild form of aggression. It's joining with your neighbors to force people to do what you want them to do, rather than letting them lovingly choose to do what's right. What do you think, Michael?
Preach it, Brother Ben. That was some good redemption in the third act, and it was all true. I want to thank you for your service, Ben Stone the Bad Quaker, and you can find Ben Stone the Bad Quaker at badquaker.com. And I want to thank Chandler St. Pierre for his service, and you can find his podcast. It's something I can't mention on the air, but I will link it in the show notes. Thanks, guys.
So get over to freedomfiends.com and hit those show notes.
And send us $2. We'll appreciate it if you want.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you both for your service, gentlemen.